keep a gun to be another one. Public enemy serving time, they drew the line, y'all. They criticize me for some crime. Nevertheless, they could not understand that I'm a black man.
You're back with Voices from the Frontlines with Eric Mann and Damon Azalee. Today's headlines on the San Francisco Chronicle said, and well, not the headlines of the first paragraph of this article, it says, it was 1976, according to Stan Tukey Williams, when he met a young Austrian bodybuilder along the Venice Beach boardwalk. Williams, who was a hard body weightlifter as well as a notorious gangster, recounted the brief encounter with Arnold Schwarzenegger, whom was so impressed with Williams' physique, he noted Williams' biceps were as big as thighs. So this is what we want to bring in Stephanie Fauché from Death Penalty Focus on, because 30 years later, we have two people, and one can actually save the life of the other person. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for speaking with me today.
Yeah, Stephanie, so I wanted to start off by saying, by asking you, so this earlier this year, both Donald Beardsley and Kevin Cooper, who were two people who were on death row and were executed, weren't granted clemency by Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I wanted to ask you what makes Stan Tukey Williams different, in particular during this time when it's increased the police as opposed to increase the police or the peace.
Well, you're right. Donald Beardsley was executed earlier this year, and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger failed to grant him clemency, despite the fact that we know that he was severely brain damaged. And actually, he failed to give a clemency hearing to Kevin Cooper, but luckily the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals stepped in at the very last minute and is still looking at his case. Stanley Williams is a really unique case because 25 years ago he was an active member of the Crips. In fact, he was one of the co-founders, and really was leading a life of gang violence and drugs and all sorts of crime, and found himself convicted of 4 murders, which he's always said he didn't commit, and is now on death row and facing a December 13th execution date. However, Stanley Williams now is a completely different person than he was 25 years ago. During his time on death row, he's completely transformed himself. He has become an advocate against gang violence. He's written 8 books for children and an autobiography. He's worked actively from his cell at San Quentin on death row to try to bring truces between warring gangs around the country and around the world. He's really made a difference in reaching out to youth and steering them away from this destructive path. So Governor Schwarzenegger is going to have to look at not just who this man was, but who this man is today, and decide whether he should be granted clemency. And certainly we are pushing him to do just that.
Well, first of all, I guess I want to talk and say, people want more information on Stan Williams' case, they should go to www.tookie.com or www.deathpenalty.org. That's one of the interesting things. If we look at, just in terms of the governor granting clemency, this last, what, not even a month ago, he brought this election with the most reactionary propositions, et cetera, et cetera. But it's really interesting to look at the criminal justice piece of it, and you compare him to Gray Davis, who was a Democrat, you compare them to the governors that were before, and actually Schwarzenegger has been more, I would say, quote-unquote, liberal in terms of letting folks out on parole. So there were 114 people who let out parole. Gray Davis, I think, only let out 5. How does this change the playing field in terms of you moving your campaign forward, working with the kind of more conservative Republican governor, but, you know, basically still being able to, like, making a nuanced kind of tactical plan to move forward?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because it was, in fact, Governor Schwarzenegger that added the word rehabilitation back into the name of the California Department of Corrections. He said that he did this because he believed that the correctional system should actually correct people. So here we have a perfect example, Stanley Williams, of somebody who spent the last 12 years trying to correct himself and trying to correct all of the damage that he feels that he has done in his community, and really having a great deal of success. We hope that Arnold Schwarzenegger will see that this is actually why clemency is so important. Clemency is an extrajudicial power that is supposed to look at things like change in individuals. It has nothing to do with their guilt or innocence, but it's supposed to be an act of mercy. And I really hope that he sees Stanley Williams as an example of somebody who's trying to change and has inspired many other people to change. You know, Snoop Dogg, the rapper, was at San Quentin at a rally this weekend and was telling the audience there that Stanley Williams has inspired him to change and to work with youth. And he's really affected so many people, from, you know, rappers like Snoop Dogg to people in middle school and high school around the world. It's really amazing, and I hope that Governor Schwarzenegger sees this as an opportunity to do the right thing.
Hi, Stephanie. This is Eric Mann. I'm here with Damon Ozzoli on Voices from the Frontline, and we're with Stephanie Fauché of Death Penalty Focus. I was in prison for just a year and a half, but I was sent into, or just was long enough for me. But when I was in Concord State Prison, they transferred me at the end. It was a maximum security prison, so a lot of the people there were primarily there for life without possibility of parole. I saw a tremendous amount of people being rehabilitated, doing incredible things. But we were living at a time during the 1970s where the concept of rehabilitation was popular, and even where the prison system was somewhat back on its heels. But today, a kind of Christian evangelical punitiveness is sweeping the country, combined with the issue of racism, in a way that parents of victims, police groups, DAs, really feel that the key is to be a harsh and unforgiving God. How do you work in that context? How do you win the argument when the argument would be that there are four people that are dead, and I assume the parents are not going for a clemency appeal?
Well, it's very difficult. Let me tell you, it really is. I think it's very important to think about this in terms of whether the death penalty is really accomplishing what these individuals who are advocating it for think that it's supposed to be doing. Is it making us safer as a community? No, we know that it's not making us any safer. We know that it hasn't been a deterrent to crime. And certainly in this case, we have an individual who's working very hard to try to bring peace to many communities that people have given up on and is having a great deal of success. So I think it is important to find to look at what the death penalty really is in this day and age and think about how getting rid of the death penalty can actually make us safer. And allowing for corrections to happen in prison can make us safer. It makes the guards safer, and it makes the other prisoners safer. Knowing that they can be rewarded for good behavior is very important and contributes to the smooth running of the prison. And I think that's incredibly important. Rewarding good behavior has always been more effective than punishing bad behavior. And certainly we know the death penalty hasn't accomplished very much in this day and age and really served no purpose. It's a failed government program that just isn't working. And we should be spending the millions of dollars that are going into the death penalty system on programs that really have been proven to make us safer and make our community safer, like education and job training and after-school programs. These things we know make us have safer communities.
Well, I think in the political realm, since you do, I'm assuming you do lobbying and efforts to change minds. Representative Murtha, I believe his name is now taking a conservative hawk, Democratic hawk, is now taking an aggressive U.S. out of Iraq position. Are there any comparable changes in the California legislature? Gloria Romero is doing great work, but she would be more perceived in a certain way by Schwarzenegger. Are there any Republicans? Are there any conservative Democrats rallying to Tukey Williams' case, which we hope there are?
We have. We've seen a number of people from all walks of life come out in favor of clemency for Stanley Williams. It is really remarkable that this case is getting so much attention. Some of them are doing it in private, and some of them are doing it in public. Senator Romero has been very public in her support for clemency, and I know that she is working with her colleagues in the legislature to send a letter to Governor Schwarzenegger, and that's incredibly important. Certainly, we're seeing some law enforcement, especially from Southern California, come out against clemency for Stanley Williams, and I think this is incredibly disappointing, because here we have somebody who has really tried to bring peace to the Southern California area, in addition to many others, him being from Los Angeles himself, and yet we have the district attorney and the sheriff and speaking out against clemency. And really, I don't understand this concept, because keeping Stanley Williams alive will save lives. It'll save lives in Southern California. It'll save lives all over the state of California. And it is unfortunate that we have a few people.
Stephanie, tell us a little bit about AB 1121, because that's calling for a moratorium, correct?
It is, in fact. That's the California Moratorium on Executions Act. It's in the legislature right now, and it will have its first hearing in January of next year, in 2006. This bill would temporarily suspend all executions in California while the California Commission on the Fair Administration of Justice, which is a bipartisan commission, takes a look at this issue and the issue of wrongful conviction and why we're making so many mistakes. And I think this bill is incredibly important, and I encourage people to visit our website, deathpenalty.org, for more information about how they can write to their legislators and support this piece of legislation. I think it's coming at just the right time. Here we have a commission just beginning to examine the criminal justice system and its failures and why there are so many errors and why there are so many disparities in how the death penalty is applied. And we're starting to gear up for not just this execution scheduled for December 13th, but there are two others scheduled just after this for January and possibly February or March.
Right, exactly. I was reading the website, and Clarence Allen Ray, who's about to be 76, the day after his 76th birthday, they want to execute him. And this is a man who's almost blind from diabetes and confined to a wheelchair.
And he just recently had a heart attack where he flatlined, and they brought him back to life.
Okay.
With the sole purpose of being able to execute him 2 months later. It's just ludicrous,
right,
the extent that we are going to try to have vengeance. And Michael Morales is the individual who's facing an execution date in February or March, and his case is severely flawed. All of these cases involve jailhouse and informant snitches. They all have been touched by racism in the criminal justice system. They're all from counties where we've seen some serious problems and misconduct and errors. They're all very old cases that are severely flawed, and it's just these type of cases that the commission should be looking at to see what went wrong and why there have been so many errors.
And so let me give out the website again before the last question. The website is www.deathpenalty.org. And I guess the last question that I want to kind of raise with you, Stephanie Fauché from Death Penalty Focus, is that I've kind of read all the things about Stan Tookie Williams in terms of being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for the last 5 years, the Nobel Prize for Literature for the last 4 years, the fact that he has this like 60-page document that talks about how to achieve a gang truce with community members, etc. If anybody, I mean, if you've been put aside, you know, the people who are saying death penalty is just wrong, if anybody is worthy of this clemency, it is him. So the question I have to you in terms of this, all the momentum, Snoop Dogg, everybody coming and getting his back, if he doesn't get clemency, what does that do for the movement against the death penalty right now?
Well, I think it can only strengthen our efforts to seek a temporary suspension of executions in California. Certainly, if clemency no longer exists, we need to find another means to put all executions on hold. Certainly, if Governor Schwarzenegger doesn't see this case as one that's fit to grant clemency, I don't know what kind of case could possibly exist out there meriting clemency. I mean, as you said, this case is a truly remarkable. But, you know, whether you oppose the death penalty or support the death penalty, certainly you can see there are many reasons to keep Stanley Williams alive.
And I'll tell you that if Vice President Cheney is ever convicted of torture, I support clemency for him, too.
All right. I want to thank Stephanie Fauché from Death Penalty Focus. This is Eric Mann and Damon Azali saying goodbye to next week. Well, we have a whole show on global warming and trying to force the U.S. to sign the Kyoto Treaty. We'd like to thank Ken Path, Patty Ferguson, Stephanie Fauché as our guests. Today we have music from Christy Moore, Nas, Public Enemy, and now you're listening to Ali Fakhar Toure. You can listen to previous Voices shows at www.thestrategycenter.org. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, production assistant, Lisa Adler. We had Maggie LaPique, Jazz Shepherd, and Jose Benavides on the board today. Up next is Susie Wiseman, who will be talking to us. We'll be talking to John Nichols on Cheney, Bob Pollan on economic decline, and Greenwald on the Walmart situation. Join us next week. Thanks a lot for your show.